Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
A church, because we need to make sure that we clear up any confusion, is a local, autonomous, physical organism composed of real, present, living, and participating individuals. The church is not a mystical, ethereal, abstract, individual collective of the consciousnesses from across time and space of various believers. That is not what the church is. But wait, now some may say, isn't there one church? Yes! Well, how can this be? I have an example. I didn't dare bring it forth to set out. I didn't want to seem disrespectful. I already was pushing the limits of my position by covering up the church covenant. I thought y'all already would vote me out before service started. But a great illustration I thought of this is sodas. I was going to place up here on a table a various line of sodas. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, all these kinds of things. When the majority of the world thinks about soda, or as we call it, Coke, they think about Coca-Cola. That's what, there's all kinds of illustrations about the way Coca-Cola has been distributed and reached into the farthest regions of the world that the gospel didn't make it yet, just wild. In times past that I've heard. But I want you to get the idea. When you look at this, there may be many different kinds and flavors of these kinds of things, but you know, there's only one Coke. The rest of them are imitation. Now, if you're a Pepsi person over a Coke person, don't stone me. This is just an illustration, okay? There's only one Coke. That Pepsi's not a Coke. It's a Pepsi. One Coke. We can all be in agreement then. There is one Coke. Well, now we have a problem. I could pull from under the pulpit and I could place a second can of Coke up here before you. Well, by your confession, you just admitted there's only one Coke. But you would be a fool to deny the fact that now there are two Cokes present before you. Well, that's a real head scratcher, isn't it? I hope you see the principle is the same when it comes to the church or the body of Christ. There is one. Everything else is an imitation. There is one. It is the kind that Jesus started. That is the only biblical scriptural church. And due to the outlined operations in Scripture, that same formula has been replicated through the ages to where we are today, so that when people can look at us, we are that one church. Now, does that mean that there is another one church in another community? Well, sure. But just like that Coke, there's only one Coke. In this illustration, I loved it because you could carry it a lot farther. Let's say, for example, I set the Coke before you, but I pulled out one that had been in the back of a warehouse, dropped off the forklift, and it's crumpled and it's nasty looking. Question, is it still a Coke? You might not want to drink it, but the fact remains, it's nasty looking, but it's not a Pepsi. It's not a Mountain Dew. It's a Coke. Now we run into another issue. Let's say that I take one of those red Solo cups that us Americans are known for around the world, and I pour a Coke into that. Contained in that red Solo cup, is that a Coke? Yes. But could you recognize it as a Coke? No. What do you have to do? You have to either take my word for it, or you have to get in and try it, and you have to know what Coke tastes like to know whether or not that's really Coke. Could I put forth to you, that's our community churches of today that remove the labeling off of the signs, that's and right, rebrand yeah, to try to draw an attention. Some of them, they may have the real stuff in it, but you won't know unless you know what the real stuff is. Others say, hey, this is Coke. It's RC Cola. Some of y'all may like RC Cola. I shouldn't have said that. But just give me water, please. But I hope that you catch the illustration here. One church. That's why it's important that we hold true to the labelings, the reputation that we have. As Baptists, we are to hold to the beliefs that are contained in this document. And if a group does not hold to what we are about to examine, and they carry the name Baptist on their sign or on their door or over their head, they ought to remove that name from the door, from the church, from whatever it may be. Because it's representative of these beliefs that we hold to. And here's what we find. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, Baptists believe, or as I mentioned, they should believe if they carry that name, that lost sinners are drawn to God by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 6:44, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." What this means is that mankind, in its lost, separated form from God, does not come to the Father whenever or wherever he or she wishes. One does not get saved whenever they just want to get saved. Don't lose me. It is a response from oneself to the call of the gospel that constitutes true salvation. Secondly, one's response to this call is voluntary. This is outlined in our document. Salvation is not only contingent upon the call of the Spirit, but also on each person's receiving of Jesus Christ for themselves. Salvation comes through one's receiving a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. It's not from receiving baptism. It's not through reformation or church membership or good works. Nothing but Jesus. Men and women must receive him. Jesus spoke of this in John. The Bible outline, we'll get to what Jesus said in a moment, but in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, "But as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born," don't miss this part, "not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." This means that they felt the call of God on their life for repentance, and they responded to that message. May I propose to you today that in our sharing of the message of Christ to a lost and dying world, if we fail to neglect or to ignore the duty that the Holy Spirit has to draw men towards the Father, we miss a vital element in our presentation of the gospel. It's not by our power and it's not by their power. They cannot. You cannot will yourself into the presence of God. You cannot will yourself into a state of being declared righteous before God. It is not possible. It is only available to us because the Lord calls to us and we respond. But we have a choice to respond or to reject. It's voluntary. Jesus said we must receive him because he said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If one will not receive Jesus as the Christ, they will be forever lost and without help or hope. John 8:24, "I said therefore unto you, ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Let's continue reading the covenant. "To receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and on the profession of our faith." We're about to cover the issue of baptism, and the document is about to reach baptism. But prior to baptism is profession. Salvation and a public confession that one has received salvation should always precede baptism. When one truly believes in Jesus Christ, they should enter into a lifelong pilgrimage of publicly confessing him as Savior before the world. Salvation occurs when one receives Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior by grace through faith. We read that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. This occurs when one takes freely of the water of life that's been offered. So now the question, if one has already been saved before confession and baptism, why should they confess publicly that they've been saved and be baptized if the salvation has already taken place? Well, it's a great question. We could go back and forth on arguments and reasonings all day long, but let me just simply share with you why the Bible says. First, one should publicly confess they've repented of their sin and accepted Christ Jesus as Savior because the Lord commands it of believers to confess him without shame. You could read Mark 8:34 and 38. Secondly, one should confess or testify that they're saved before baptism because that has been the practice of New Testament believers throughout Scripture. It's the example set forth. You remember Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? He said, "There's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" You know what Philip required of him? A public confession in Philip's presence. "Do you believe?" And we find that the Ethiopian eunuch said, he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And guess what? He was baptized.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.